The European Union has imposed sanctions against Myanmar's authorities over their crimes against Rohingya Muslims. The EU foreign ministers accused Myanmar officials of serious human rights violations, including unlawful killings and rape. The Myanmarese officials who were hit by the EU sanctions include army generals, police officers, and border guard commanders. The EU says the measures send a message to the Myanmarese military's top brass that those responsible for abuses will be held accountable. Thousands of Rohingya Muslims fled a harsh military crackdown by Myanmarese military to the neighboring Bangladesh in August 2017. Joining us now to discuss this further is Catherine Shakdam. She's the director of Shafaqna Institute for Middle Eastern Studies, and she joins us via Skype from London. Many thanks for joining us here on Press TV, Ms. Shakdam. Now, what do you make of these sanctions, first of all? Some say they're too little too late.
Well, they're definitely too little too late, but I think the main worry here, I mean, at least for me, is that while the military has been clearly pinpointed as the main culprit here, we tend to forget that the only reason why the army behaved in such a manner against Rohingya Muslims is because government officials have told them to. So I think that to blame military general then great, but we need to blame the government itself, especially top officials. Now, the problem is that those particular top officials are actually quite friendly with Western capitals and, you know, by extension, the United Nations. So I think it's a little bit hypocritical. It doesn't go far enough in the condemnation, is that the real guilty party are not actually pointed out. And I think that's the main problem here. So it falls short. And as you mentioned, it's definitely too late. Thousands of people have already died. And I think that the most problematic thing is that the culture in Myanmar is definitely anti-Muslim. And it's going to be very difficult to kind of turn the tide in that way, because I think that harm has already been done in terms of anchoring this tradition of religious hatred and sectarianism. So condemnation is not enough, I'm afraid.
Right. So since these sanctions don't go far enough, why do you think that is so? There is that lack of political will to, for example, sanction people like Aung San Suu Kyi.
Mm-hmm. Well, political standing, it's always the same thing. The United Nations is always, always, kind of trying to toe the line of the acceptable without actually doing anything. So it's condemning a lot, it's imposing sanctions, but it's never against the real parties. It's never enough. It's never actually changing anything on the ground. And it's kind of perpetuating this, again, this culture of violence, telling the world that if you're powerful enough in your friendships and your allegiances, then you have nothing to fear from the United Nations. And so by definition, the United Nations has become this empty echo chamber that is really there to serve, you know, a certain elite and not doing anything, you know, that is remotely upholding the its own tradition. I mean, it's claiming to be defending human rights and democracy across the world. It's not doing that. It's not doing that at all. If anything, it's excusing war crimes and crimes against humanity. And it's allowing, you know, for the likes of vengeful governments to actually exist and extend their reach in power within the international community. So it's for me, it's borderline criminal what the United Nations has done.
Right, so Ms. Shakdam, where does that leave the Rohingya people? Those who are in Bangladesh right now in refugee camps are awaiting the monsoon season. We already know that it's going to wreak havoc on those refugees. There's already a deal in place for the repatriation to a Myanmar that hasn't changed its policy towards the Rohingya. So what next for these people?
That's the problem. As you mentioned, I mean, even if they are allowed to come home to what? To the same tradition of hatred and you know, vengeful religious, campaign. So nothing is going to change for them. They're going to be facing the same horrors, the same hardship. There is no talk about justice or restitution or even retribution in terms of trying to compensate those people. There is no talk of actually allowing for, you know, all refugees to come back and come back to something. It's too little. It's not enough at all. I mean, nothing's going to change. And I have a feeling that the UN is kind of preempting on the humanitarian catastrophe here, trying to assuage the public in advance, saying, oh, but look, we did something. We slapped some sanctions here and there. But we're not going to really, we don't really have a plan when it comes to looking after these people. We're talking about millions of people who have been displaced in horrible condition. And the United Nations has a duty of care towards these people. But it's not, again, it's not upholding the end of the deal, even though There are millions to be spent, technically speaking, in terms of humanitarian aid, but the aid is not reaching because the government of Myanmar is not allowing this aid to reach anybody. So it's going to be very difficult, and I don't think that even neighboring countries would be willing to help at all, because there is no incentive here, whether politically or economically, there is no incentive to help those people, those who are destitute, because they have been made essentially voiceless. And this is something that is, it's a theme now in the world today, where the voiceless and those who have been made homeless and those who have suffered from war or sectarianism or other form of systematic hatred, engineered hatred, are abandoned simply because, this is the law of the jungle, and only the mighty and the so-called brave actually hold power, and justice is being done in their name, but only to a certain elite, never to the people in general.
All right, let's leave it there for now. That's Catherine Shakhtam, director of Shafaqna Institute for Middle Eastern Studies, joining us via Skype from London. Ms. Shakhtam, thank you very much indeed for your comments here on Press TV, as always.